Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time.
We watch the welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Here on the Locked On Podcast Network, thank you for making this part of your daily routine. And today, on this Monday show, we are going to be talking about the first place Boston Celtics. That's right, the Boston Celtics, by virtue of their win over the Miami Heat, a 110-108 nail-biter that was equal parts frustrating and exciting, ended up giving the Celtics a virtual tie on top of the Eastern Conference standings. The Cleveland Cavaliers at 47-25 have a slight percentage advantage over the 48-26 Boston Celtics, but it is, for all intents and purposes, a tie. The Celtics are tied for first in the Eastern Conference, and there are, what, 10 games left at this point? No, wait, 8 games left. At this point. So we are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, joined by Jam Packard, talking about this win over the Miami Heat. And Jam, look, this was one of those games where you felt like the Celtics, if they had just been more assertive early, it could have gone a different way, I think. But, you know, Miami has climbed all the way from near... I guess, challenging Brooklyn for the worst pick to in the playoff picture and a few games from becoming a 500 basketball team.
Yeah, no, I mean, Miami's been playing great basketball as of late, but it felt like the Celtics came out and kind of didn't take them as seriously as they should have. And it took, you know, falling down 15 midway through the second quarter for the Celtics really to kick things in gear. But then they really took back the game. They ended that quarter on a 25-15 run. Which included the most of which went when they went small, which is not something that the Celtics have been great at this year. And then the defense in the third quarter, I thought, was outstanding. They only let up 17 points, and it just felt like they were smothering the Heat that entire quarter. Got a little fast and loose there down the stretch, giving up 33 points in a quarter is never good. Letting Tyler Johnson and James Johnson do whatever the hell they want is not ideal, but. When you're down 15 in the second quarter, you don't really expect to win, and this team did enough to kind of pull it out. And we saw a return of kind of that fourth quarter Isaiah magic, so that was good to see. It's just this is a game that the Celtics didn't necessarily need to have, but it's just they ended up winning it, and it feels like they're a really strong team at home where they expect to be in any game. So it's just another good sign for the Celtics, and yeah, they're technically in first place now, which is I'm going to be a first place truther and say they're. I'm not going to celebrate yet because they're still technically behind the Cavs, but so I don't want to celebrate too early. But it's a good sign. And if the Cavs lose Monday night against the Spurs, which is highly likely because the Spurs are a good team, then the Celtics would be in first place.
That would just solidify it absolutely. Yeah, we'll say first place, and look, they are 0 games behind the Cavaliers, so that's just kind of how it works out. But whatever. I think the Celtics, and as I wrote on Sunday on RedsArmy.com, that first seed, second seed, not a huge, huge deal.
if you're sitting there trying to figure out, well, we want to go get first if we want to get this matchup, and don't worry about those matchups. It's too complicated, because then you'll be sweating every win and loss. Like, oh, we should have lost this game, but oh shit, Washington lost, so now we need to win this game. You just don't bother yourself with that. The Celtics right now need to play better, and that first half they did not play well enough for anybody's liking. And you had the possibility of halftime pissed off Brad Stevens going in and crushing his team. And whatever he said at the half worked, because that third quarter, the Celtics came out and crushed the Miami Heat. But regardless, what we would really want is the Celtics to come out now over the last few games and just continue to assert themselves. Go into the playoffs on a big high note. And if Cleveland goes off and just keeps on winning, then good for them. Whatever. It's not a big deal. If the Celtics get the second seed at this point, it's not a big deal. I mean, right now we're looking at the loss column. The Celtics have 26 losses. Cleveland has 25. So technically they can win out. And if both teams win out, then the Cavaliers get the first seed. So good for them if they do that. You just deal with it and you match up against either Miami, or more likely, it'll be between Indiana or Milwaukee or Atlanta. That's in a free fall. So, I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going with this. I think I've gone down too many different roads to start the show tonight. But the bottom line is, the Celtics will be fine if they just play with some more consistency. That's their biggest problem, a lack of consistency. Oh, by the way, let me mention, I'm recording on new devices tonight, so if there's any audio quality, I can't tell right now as I'm recording it, but after I put it together, I don't know what the audio quality is going to be like. Bear with us. I'm trying to upgrade. I'm upgrading the apparatus, and maybe that comes with some growing pain, so I don't know how it's going to sound. So if it's not great, I apologize. So, sorry.
All I gotta say is that no matter what, it's gonna sound better than when Jay King edits and throws an ad.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10, select styles only.
Right in the middle of people's specifically my sentences. He did it like four times in the last episode me and Jay did together, so anything's better than that.
You realize I'm going to throw an ad right in the middle of that sentence now.
That's your prerogative.
Just for the joke.
Well, yeah, that's a good joke then, but Jay was not doing it as a goof, and as a former audio professional and radio producer, I took great offense to his editing skills. But back to the Celtics. You're right, it's a consistency. The Heat are playing a very good basketball, and they're definitely not the eighth best team in the East. They're probably somewhere in that, like, Hawks, Bucks range, or five or six, but, you know, they started off the season so poorly.
You put them in a seven-game series against the Hawks, and I'm picking the Heat.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't expect the Celtics to dominate the entire game and put together a 48-minute stretch, but it feels like they haven't put in... It's like classic Brad Stevens line. It's like it's about the process, not necessarily the results. It feels like when they get down by all these points, it's not because they're playing great basketball and shots aren't falling. It's because there's some sort of lackadaisical effort or the intensity's not there. So what you want to see moving into the playoffs is just them to dominate an entire game, them to come out like they did that third quarter and play that way for 48 minutes straight. And you know what? Maybe it's beating the Magic and the Knicks next week by like 30 apiece, but just – playing consistently great basketball for an entire game, because that's the type of game you need in the playoffs if you're going to win series. And despite the Celtics' recent just success and all the wins they've piled up, we haven't seen that kind of dominating performance. And that might be nitpicking because they are eventually winning the basketball games. But you know what? We're talking about the Celtics going to an Eastern Conference Finals and progressing into multiple rounds. And so just eking out kind of games against lesser teams, it's going to be a lot harder in the playoffs. So you want to see them come with that intensity for a full 48 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting here, on the one hand, like you said, nitpicky. We're kind of looking at this team and saying, ah, God, why can't they be more consistent? But we're saying it after I just said they have the most wins in the Eastern Conference. All this virtual tie bullshit, like, it is what it is, but the Boston Celtics currently have the most wins in the Eastern Conference. So at some point, the concerns that we have are, while valid on one hand, on the other hand, so? when you have the most wins in the conference, that's pretty damn good. And I don't think we're operating under any delusions of grandeur. That I think if the Cavaliers get their shit together, they're going to be the obvious finals participant. But, I don't know, there's also starting to creep in a little bit here of, well, what if Cleveland doesn't get their shit together? What if something happens? What if something is wrong? What if they've, you know, started to decline? I don't think that. I think this is a lot of people freaking out about because they're resting, and I think they're taking it easy, and this is kind of how I thought the season was going to go at the beginning, that Cleveland was going to start resting people and that there was going to be another team, be it Boston or Toronto. I didn't think Washington, but I thought Boston or Toronto could sneak into that top seed. I've said that from the beginning, but when we're in the middle of it, you start to think, well, maybe it's more than just Cleveland resting and taking it easy. But
I don't know how much it is about Cleveland, because I just have like a hard time doubting a team led by LeBron and their ability to turn it on in the playoffs. Because I feel like we had this exact same conversation last year about the Cavs, and they didn't have the greatest team defensive rating, and it was, they weren't playing that well down the stretch, and then they just kind of dominated in the playoffs. So I kind of have faith in them. But I think there's the larger point of that, the Celtics are a very good basketball team, and with their starters entirely healthy, I think they're 24-7 right now, which would be like a 63-win pace. So I think we don't necessarily have to discredit the Cavs, but to take the optimistic view, we could just say this Celtics team is really fucking good at basketball, and when healthy, they play very well together. So yes, we are nitpicking, but I don't know. That's what you do on a daily Celtics podcast.
When you're talking about this team from day to day, that's what you do. People are nitpicking in Golden State. People are nitpicking in San Antonio. People are nitpicking in Cleveland. Everybody's nitpicking. There is no team that's out there that's perfect. That's what we all do. So, fine. The Boston Celtics have done extremely well. And when they are healthy, which they seem to be, and when they are engaged, they can be healthy and shitty. Because when they don't play well, when they come out, and I think at the beginning of this game, that's what they were. They were not engaged. In the third quarter, fully engaged. And Brad Stevens made a tweak with some smaller lineups because they finally worked. The IT and D lineup, as Jay King likes to call it, that kind of worked for a little while. But when they are fully engaged and fully healthy, this can be a damn good team. And really only the best teams in the NBA, the Clevelands, the Golden States, and San Antonio, you can throw the Clippers into that mix, maybe. But at their best, at their absolute best, the Boston Celtics can only be beaten by a handful of NBA teams in a seven-game series. But it's only when they're at their best. They can't have any slippage. They can't have any injuries, or else they are at great risk for falling way behind and not being good. It's kind of funny how this works. They just have, everything works perfectly in concert with one another. The substitutions, the progression from Jaylen Brown, the Al Horford, even though he only took, six shots tonight, which I said I would mention because Mark D'Amico mentioned that if the Celtics lost the game, everybody would talk about Al Horford taking six shots, but if they won, no one would talk about it. And I said, I will mention this on the podcast just to spite you. So I'm mentioning it on the podcast just in jest, tongue-in-cheek. I love the guy, to spite him. But Al Horford doing what he does, and he had another near triple-double tonight regardless. Avery Bradley doing what he does. Jay Crowder having an awesome night, a season-high 23 points. All of this stuff working together at its peak is fantastic, and the Celtics are great, but they need it to be consistently happening. And now I'm hoping that it will consistently happen in the playoffs. And so, yeah.
I think we really saw their potential tonight to defend, I guess, any team that doesn't have, like, traditional bigs, any teams that plays kind of small, because they were doing a fantastic job switching and fantastic job on rotations. And with a lineup in there with Bradley, Crowder, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, which they were playing for a while, just and Al Horford, just their ability to switch were really disrupting the Heat. And they had some terrible possessions where it's just like they were dribbling around for basically 23 seconds and hoisting up a terrible shot. And the Celtics were flying around in that third quarter. So I think that when healthy and the team's entirely intact, and I don't think Avery Bradley had it all tonight. He had a couple air balls. He's coming back from that weird hospitalization, so I don't know what his deal was tonight. But when healthy, this team defense has a chance to be amazing, and then you pack on just like the elite scorer that is Isaiah Thomas, they have a chance to be very dangerous in the playoffs. And dare I say, they could make some noise.
The Boston Celtics, Isaiah Thomas, has led his team in scoring for 36 straight games. He's the second person to do that in the last 40 years. The other person, Michael Jordan. That is a tweet from Sean Grandy, who has the amazing stats. Another great stat, this one comes from Brian Robb. Celtics have won 7 straight home games and are 14-1 in their last 15 games at the TD Garden. So that's amazing. That's an amazing run for the Boston Celtics, who, at the beginning of the year, weren't winning home games. So there was a weird kind of like thing going on. Let's get to some of the Rain and Jay's comments and tweets before we continue. A couple of at Robert Denton and Bruce Main at B_Main207. Bruce says, Spo's reaction to the Marcus Smart play was hilarious. And Denton says, I've waited the entire game to say this. I despise Spoelstra. Spoelstra, I'm happy. If you look at the video, Spoelstra's having like a – he wants to – this is when Dragic fouled him on the rebound. And I think it was a legitimate foul, but I also think Marcus Smart flopped to sell the call. One of those deals where I think if he didn't do that, he might not have gotten the call. But he sold it. He sold the call very well. And Spo had all that, what I can only describe as a stroke on the sidelines. It was like kind of a combination stroke / seizure kind of thing. He kind of had like that big baby tongue thing going on for a little bit. It was kind of wild, that reaction. So pretty funny. At Coop Sisk, Amir for MVP. Let's talk a little bit about Amir Johnson doing more Amir Johnson things. He had an awesome game.
When the big dog is 6 for 6 from the field, he's having a great night. He's kind of been, I feel like since the All-Star break, been very, very good. I think I went on this rant some point last week about how well he's doing, but he normally can only finish around the rim and kind of two-footers, but tonight he does a pretty good job of taking it to the basket. He had some nice plays, and then he hit his patented one Amir Johnson three per game that I'm all for him taking. If he takes one or two threes per game, he's shooting at something like 38% from the field, which is amazing. And I just don't think he played a pretty sturdy defense along the way. There were some possessions where the Heat got actually like 5 possessions in a row because they couldn't offense a rebound, but that was more of a team fault, not Amir Johnson. So yeah, when he's money around the rim, he can be great, and he's got some soft hands too, and not Tyler Zeller soft, but he's pretty good at catching the ball kind of around the rim and doing those little flip shots.
I want to say that Amir Johnson has been playing amazing basketball for him lately, I think he's just been on the upswing. He's been driving a lot more. He just looks more active. He looks fresher. He just is doing a lot more things out there, and it's pretty cool to see. And he is currently shooting 37.3%. That was going into tonight's game. So add another free throw, add another three-pointer to that mix, and that will up his percentage. He is now 23 of 60. So shooting over 37% for the season. Amir Johnson is kind of an underrated reason why the Celtics are suddenly doing so well to close out the season. And if he can continue this, he's a big, healthy Amir Johnson, active Amir Johnson, changes the dynamic of this team a lot.
Yeah, he played 27 minutes to this game, which is a lot more than you're normally getting from Amir Johnson. And it's nice to see kind of that playoff rotation come into the fold. It's something we talked about last week of just seeing how this is going to work out. Marcus Smart also had 30 minutes. And then although they went 11 deep tonight, it was only 4 minutes of Gerald Green, 4 minutes of Rozier. But we saw kind of like the basic nine guys who the Celtics are going to play, and they all did pretty well. Except for Kelly Olynyk, who was a minus 18 tonight, which kind of surprised me because I don't remember him being that bad.
No, he played pretty well in the third quarter. By the way, while you were talking, I specifically led you into talking so I could do the calculation. Amir Johnson is over 38%, 38.3% now for the season with that one-for-one tonight. In the third quarter, I thought Kelly Olynyk did a pretty good job. I thought he was a big reason why they did all right. Let me call up the third quarter stats. Okay, maybe I'm wrong about the third quarter. Maybe it was the second quarter that he – no, right, it was the second quarter because he had a stretch, I think, that did well for them. God, I'm trying to – I know that he had a little bit of a stretch where he bailed them out a bit, but I can't find – maybe I'm just making things up. Or maybe he just wasn't scoring. It was something else, but –
I remember he had a couple of layups in while they were going badly, but and then he had, of course, his kind
in the
of
fourth quarter it was.
Kind of yeah, back.
But anyway,
Mark D'Amico described him as a falling down Jenga set, which I thought was a perfect description of any time he does anything.
All right, so that's the game. Jay Crowder had an awesome game. We're at a point now this season where we get it. This is what it should be. The Boston Celtics, fully healthy, should be beating basically every team now, from now on. They should be favored in every one of their games from now on, except for maybe the Cleveland game. And that depends on whether the Cavaliers will rest guys for that game. Remember, we talked about this a couple shows ago, where the Cavaliers have a bunch of home games in a row, but they have one road game in the middle of those home games, and it's on a back-to-back, and that's the one in Boston. So that seems to be a game where they will sit. They should sit, guys. If they're going to stick to their rest, they're going to probably, I think, sit a couple of their guys at least. So Milwaukee next on Wednesday, Orlando on Friday, Sunday at New York, Wednesday, Cleveland, that's the Cleveland game that I was just talking about. They play the Hawks, who are just – they lost to the Nets. They're just in a complete free fall. They play the Hornets, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee. They should be favored in all of those games, and we'll see with the possible exception of the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I'm not saying they will win out, but they very well could win their last eight games of the season.
Yeah, that would be it would be absurd if they actually pulled that off. But if looking at the schedule, the tough game there is the Cavaliers, and if they can get through that, I saw a quote from Isaiah Thomas saying it's like they basically control their own destiny in terms of first place. And I think despite the Cavs having that slight statistical advantage, I think that's true, just because like you said, the Cavs are likely going to be resting some players just because they're kind of the old team, and that's what they're going to need moving into the playoffs.
Right. If the Celtics win out, they will be the top seed in the East because they will beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're tied with the Cavaliers. And I know the Cavaliers play San Antonio Monday night, but it doesn't matter. They will have, if they beat the Cavaliers, they will take a lead over Cleveland that will not be able to be erased if they keep on winning. Will they finish the season on a 12-game winning streak? No, I doubt that highly. I think they're going to let up because these are the Boston Celtics. And if, especially if Cleveland loses to San Antonio and loses a couple more games and actually loses to the Celtics, and somehow the Celtics go and take a lead of like two games, then I think they'll kind of back off, and that Charlotte or Brooklyn or Milwaukee game will be kind of a letdown. Better not be that Brooklyn game, though, because I want to make sure that those guys, not only do I want to make sure that they get the worst record in the league, I've got a bet with a Brooklyn Nets fan. I got a bottle of whiskey riding on that thing that they win less than 20 games. So I'm really sweating the end of this season here.
Oh, yeah, they made a run. They made a real run quickly or at the end of the season here.
Yeah, it's pissing me off. I made a bet before the season. I said, your Nets are so terrible, they won't even win 20 games this year. And we made the bet. 20 is a push. Nobody wins. If they get 21 plus, he wins. And it's less than 20, I win. And I was so confident last week that I upped it. I gave him odds over the rest of the season where I'm playing for a bottle of Maker's Mark. And I said, I'll get you a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue if they come back and not on a push. If you win this bet, I will upgrade you to Johnny Walker Blue if they go off and win 21 games. So now they're up to, what, like 16, 15 wins? So with 8 games to go, not likely, but I feel like I might be in some trouble because they're the team that everybody's going to rest against. So all of a sudden, the Brooklyn Nets could go on a little bit of a run because everyone's just taking them lightly and they don't give a shit.
You know what you should do here is you should up the odds again just to throw out kind of a wild card play. Double down. And I know that makes no sense, but I just raised the stakes.
just for the hell of it, I'll get you a case of Johnny Walker Blue. How do you like that? Broke.
Speaking of nonsense opinions, do you want to go to Jam's Junk Drawer?
Yeah, Jam's Junk Drawer. Let's do it. And then we're going to get to Jimmy Booker. We have to talk about that because we haven't had a podcast since that. So let's do it. Go.
All right, let's go through this quickly. Marcus Smart finally got a heave at the end of a quarter, at the end of the first quarter. That was fantastic.
That was amazing.
I was watching on the whatever illegal league pass stream. I was so you could see the mid quarter or the stuff they do in between the quarters, and they have this new skee ball game that I thought was fantastic. NBA review is bad. Just reviewing any calls is bad for the league. They always take too long. And can you think of a time where it's like a review really like got it right and it was essential that the review happened? I just feel like every single game it's now we're waiting an extra 4 or 5 minutes for just review calls that seem obvious.
It gets to a point where they are overdoing it. If there's an angle that definitively says, okay, that's the call, then that should be it. And I know that there are – I think what they do is they say, well, let's look at all of the angles. But if there are 10 camera angles on like that offensive goaltending, which I've never seen before, Hassan Whiteside – offensive goaltending or defensive goaltending on a free throw. So you do like two replays and that one angle says, oh shit, yeah, that's it. You don't need to go through the rest. You don't need to go through. If it's definitive, just that's it. Maybe you can go through a couple more just to be sure, I guess, but they go through everything and then they go through everything again. No, too damn much. Just go through it.
I agree. Tommy was getting upset, and that's always fun. Let's see here. Jonas's new haircut. He got back in the game today. Suspect. Didn't like it. Not a fan.
Okay.
Here's a question. Have Jaylen Brown's shorts gotten longer? I feel like he's showing a lot less leg than he used to.
I don't know. You think he's bowing to pressure from the veterans?
Who knows, but it just looks different to me. So if Raining Jays fans are out there, tweet at me. Let me know if his shorts are getting longer. And then the final one, every time Tommy says, the little guy,
I just find it to be like super creepy, and I'm just uncomfortable with it. And I feel like I've said that before, but yeah. I have to say it again because it's like
that's how
it's underlined in my notes.
You get so creeped out by that. It's a little creepy. The way he said it, he gets really low, and he says, "The little guy." And it's very like, ooh, Jesus, man, chill out.
It's a predator. It's very guttural, and I don't like it. And I know everyone likes it, but it's not for me. And let's see, anything else? Oh, Tyler Johnson is good and ugly and rich. That's my final note.
Good one. All right. Jam's junk drawer. In this past weekend was the Friday night Celtics win over Phoenix where Devin Booker had 70-point night. And I knew he was going off a little bit in the second half, but that game was so well in hand that I actually, while it was in still blowout mode, I flipped over because Washington and Cleveland, Charlotte and Cleveland were playing. And Charlotte was coming back big. So I was starting to kind of just watch that game and tweet out, like, because the Celtics had the possibility of going and getting into first place in that game. So I didn't realize that he was getting so close until I flipped back over. I'd stopped the Cavaliers locked up that game, and I came back over. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, this guy's up to like 50-something. Like, holy shit. So I want to get your reaction to what do you think of, you know, the way the Suns were stopping the clock and getting the ball to him and fouling and calling timeouts, and the Celtics fans were cheering for that game. Like, what do you think? How do you think that all went down?
Oh, let me start with the Celtics fans cheering. I have no problem with that because it's like it's an impressive feat, and they paid money to go watch an entertaining basketball game. It was like a blowout fairly early. So if they want like something exciting's happening, they can go ahead and cheer. But as for the Suns and like Devin Booker, I just don't see how you can feel like good about that point total or feel like that was a legitimate, like a win, not a win, but like to pose after the game with the 70s and like with the whole team and just everyone proud. It just felt like kind of bush league. It was a junk game, and it was just a pure number grab. It's akin to Ricky Davis throwing the ball off his own rim to get a rebound for his triple double. Like, it just doesn't seem like something that they should be too proud over. I mean, Devin Booker is amazing and a very good shooter, but like just trying to call timeouts to advance the ball and foul to extend the game, it's just not. This is such an old guy like take. It's like it's not in the spirit of basketball. It's just like play the game right. If you happen to score that much, good for you. But just doing that purely for the stats feels like it's bullshit.
I'm with you on that a little bit. On the one hand, I sit there and I say, look, they're the Suns. If you're coaching that team and they are sitting there like we know we're terrible, that almost all of the teams in the Sweet 16 were starting lineups that were older than the Phoenix Suns. That's insane. You know that the ownership in the front office is packing it in, for lack of a better term. And you sit there and you're like, we got nothing going on. Might as well just go for it. And you see a guy who I think for most of the game was getting it within the flow. And then when they got to the fourth quarter and they said, holy shit, this guy's got, I forget what he had going into the fourth. They're like, let's just feed him and see what he can do. Now, the timeouts and the fouling at the end, I didn't like. And I'm trying to think of when I was a player, if that's what I would have wanted my teammates to do and my team to do for me. I don't think that's what I would have wanted. I think if we're down that big, if the game was basically over, then just forget it. Forget it. Just I'll sit down. I'll just get my rest. I'll just chill. Like, And not that I'm giving up on a game that I think that we have a chance to win. Like, I'll still go. If I'm hot and we have a chance to win, then, yeah, I'll keep giving it to me and I'll keep shooting. But to do what they did to prolong a game that was already there, we were already well past Geno time. I didn't like that part. Just to get him to 70. He was already having an awesome game. He was already going to get 60. And the end of it, I think, was a bit much. Now, I will take Earl Watson's point, and I said the same thing on Twitter. From a Celtics perspective, if you had a problem with him, if you have a problem with all of that, then stop him. Somebody go stop him. Are the Celtics going to go out and put out all of their great defensive players and double team? I don't know if that's something. Maybe you just sit back and you're like, fine, if you want to do this shit, do it. But if anybody had a problem with it, they should have stopped him from doing it. They should have stopped them from doing it. I will say that this is something that probably flies more in today's NBA. If they had done this back in the 80s or 90s, I don't want to sound like, oh, here goes the old guy. I'm just saying that the attitudes were different. If they were calling timeouts to get somebody 70 points at the end of a blowout, they would, somebody, if it was Celtics and Pistons and, I don't know, Joe Dumars was having a huge game and they started calling timeouts to keep feeding Joe Dumars, someone would have punched Joe Dumars. Like, there would have been a fight at the end of that game. Because then it comes off as trying to embarrass you or trying to, like you said, kind of not play real basketball. I think back in the day when a fight wasn't going to be the end of the world and 20-game suspensions and all that stuff, I think something there would have been a fight at the end of that game. So, but
I was actually kind of surprised there weren't, because the Booker got to the line a bunch towards the end of the game, and I was actually surprised there weren't some like harder fouls. But I mean, it's the smart thing to do to just kind of not give in to your anger at that point, because the Celtics seemed pretty pissed off after the game, and so was Brad Stevens. But it's good for them that they didn't get in and like draw flagrants and risk possible suspensions. But I was kind of surprised that no one like put Booker on his back. And it's probably for the best of just like general sportsmanship. But I agree with you. If this was like a pickup game or something where just something like nefarious was happening, people would be a lot more upset. And I'm surprised it didn't get it more physical than it ended up being.
Yeah, I can't say that if I was out there for the Celtics or in any situation, that if I saw this stuff happening, and like especially if I had to come back into the game as a starter, like, all right, here we go, because you're fouling and you're trying to do all that. Like at some point I may have said, okay, you want the foul, I'll give you the foul, no problem. You know, I also have a long history. I think people who know me from way back at the original, I do kind of miss some of that physical play where there was a little bit more self-policing on the floor where you could put a guy in his ass and just let him know, like, this isn't cool. And so you fall in line with how the game is really played because we don't appreciate you trying to pad your stats against us. So I think that's my attitude, but I also will freely admit that in today's NBA with the flagrant fouls and what it cost me, did I want to pay $25,000? For the right to put somebody on his ass and send a message? I don't know. Not if I'm, you know, not making a ton of money. I don't know if, you know, Jay Crowder's making plenty of money, but is he making so much that he won't miss 25 grand or 10 grand or whatever it is? So, I don't know. I guess it's just a different time. It's just a different time, different dynamics. But if that stuff didn't exist, I would not have been surprised if somebody, and even that it did exist, that it does exist, I would not have been surprised if somebody laid them out a little bit and sent them a message. But good for him. Hey, look, 70 points in a game is 70 points in a game. I don't want to take that away from him. 70 points is still an amazing contribution. You still have to make enough buckets to score 70 points regardless. Now, I don't want to take anything away from Devin Booker. You know, I think there's some of it from a team perspective, decisions that were made that I do find some fault with. It's not egregious. It's not the end of the world. It's not like I felt so pissed off by it that I was inspired to write anything about it. I didn't really care. But since we're talking about it, there's some of it that bothered me. But in the end, whatever. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, and to be fair, Booker like handled it the right way after the game and was just like, I'd much rather be winning out there. Like, yeah, this is very cool to score 70 points, and I'm going to enjoy that I did it, but I'm on the Suns, and it hasn't been a fun season, so I'd much rather be on the winning side. So it's like, you can't get too angry at a guy who comes out and says that afterwards.
No, that's true. That's true. All right, that's the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you for downloading us. Hopefully you're a subscriber, and you automatically get the show. If you are not, subscribe to us. Search Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcast. Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere else that you get podcasts. We have an RSS feed on our Audio Boom page. You can subscribe to that. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Rainin_J's. I will retweet the hell out of that link all the time anyway. So you know me, at Reds_Army_John. Sam Packard will at SamPackardNBA. So we're all tweeting those things out. You can follow us that way. Somehow get the show on a regular basis. Please rate us if you're on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars. It comes as a big help for us because it just spreads the word. It helps us get more advertising. Not that we want to flood you with ads, but it's nice for people to get paid for the work that they do. So you don't have to pay anything. We would never charge you guys to listen to a podcast, but it helps us get a little bit more money from advertisers. So please rate us 5 stars, and we thank you for that. Celtics in a quote-unquote virtual tie in first place with the Cleveland Cavaliers after a 110-108 win against the Miami Heat. And by the time we record this show tomorrow, we may be looking at a first place all alone, depending on what the Cavaliers do against San Antonio. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, J. King and John Corrales. Locked On Celtics. Millies. Is that the new iPhone? Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network. Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free. Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.